Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Hello. Today we have a really, really exciting guest that I am actually thrilled to have on right now. I got introduced to Natalie Wilson through TikTok, actually. She reached out to me in my TikTok comments, and I listened to one of her albums called Lady in the Champs, and I immediately fell in love with her music and her sound. She really brings something so special into the music space. So today we're going to have a fun conversation about creativity and specifically Natalie's experience with it, how she got into things. And this is going to be an episode that anyone is going to be able to resonate with, because we're all people who have creative outlets in whatever way that looks like for you, whether it's music or whether it's just something fun that you're not even taking seriously yet. So stick around, because I think we're going to get into good stuff today. So without further ado, welcome Natalie to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. Feels very
excited
that your video about doing album walks came up on my For You page. I was like, I love this idea. I would love for her to listen to my music.
Yes. And I enjoyed it. I really, really did. She's amazing. I really suggest you guys go check her out. I mean, what you're doing with music right now is so unlike what I've heard. And like, I consider myself a music head. Like I'm listening to music more than I'm not. Thanks. And you have such a unique sound that no one else is diving into right now. There's such a little like jazzy and bluesy feel to Lady in the Champs. And I know you have some exciting stuff coming up too, but first I want to talk about just you. I want to get to know you a little bit better, maybe tell the audience where you're from, how you started exploring music a little bit, whatever comes up for you.
Sure. So I'm from Connecticut, which is where I'm coming at you from today. And I guess like my original like music background is my grandmother was a music teacher. And so when I was growing up, my brother and I were like thrown into like classical piano lessons. But I think when you're at that age and you're like being forced to like maybe play music that you're not like thrilled with, it can be like kind of a chore. So I like stopped doing piano lessons in like third grade, but then my like really great friend at the time was playing guitar and playing like contemporary music on guitar, and I was like, that's the coolest thing ever, like I have to do that too. And so I was like in this little antique store with my mom, and I was like, can we buy this little guitar? And it was like $100 or something, and we were like, she was like, okay, like I'll buy this for you. And then, you know, we started doing lessons, and I like kind of owe all of this to my friend in third grade who played guitar, because I don't know if I ever would have started playing guitar without that influence. So, you know, I always reference that because I think it's like such a happenstance thing. Yeah. So then, you know, started playing guitar in third grade. And then I just like, because I was playing guitar, was able to like translate that to piano a little bit. And then, you know, started writing songs in like sixth grade and just never stopped.
I love that so much. So it seems like it was almost like always there, and like you just had to find it. Mm-hmm. Did it feel like it was sort of a calling that you couldn't shake, that you couldn't get away from, even if you tried?
Yeah, I mean, I did like the Oak National Choir in elementary school. So I knew that like I could always sing, or at least like I wouldn't even consider myself a vocalist. Like I think I'm more of like a songwriter that can get away with singing my own music.
She's just
But
being humble.
like I feel like when I think of a vocalist, I think of like Christina Aguilera or someone that can like really belt and like contort. It's like I'm more writing music that fits my voice and like that I can get. I don't know. That's just how I kind of like think about myself as an artist. But I think like I knew like okay, I can hit the notes, like I can write a song, you know, and it'll sound like. And then, you know, I just think like through middle school and high school and college, like as I was like developing more technique and skill when it came to songwriting, people around me were just really encouraging. And I just like decided to believe them. And I think because I made that choice to like not be like, oh, it's just a hobby, and be like, oh, like maybe this is something that I could actually do because people around me are telling me it's something I can do. You know, that made all the difference, you know, for me taking it to like the next level.
I love that. I feel like that's very interesting too, because a lot of people don't have that experience with creating. A lot of people find a lot of doubt from their peers and people around them. So I love that that's kind of the reason that pushed you to keep creating. That's really cool. So do you feel like the sound that you have found, because I kind of just talked about how you have such a unique sound in music. Do you feel like that's something that you had to discover over time, or do you feel like that was like the easiest thing that came to you?
I mean, that's a good question. I think that like when I was starting to write, you know, I was like 12 or 13, I was just trying to emulate songs I was hearing on the radio. You know, pop structure, you know, catchy verses and choruses with a bridge and then a big chorus at the end. But I think like being exposed to more music that wasn't top 40 as when I got to like late high school and college, that was like, oh, okay, like I don't have to write songs in this structure or like have it be like a crazy, huge, belty chorus that like I know that I can't hit. So I think being exposed to more music, in my like late teens and early 20s was a pivotal point for me creatively to be like, oh, like maybe I can write a song like this, maybe I can write a song like this, and then using all the techniques to like actually find like what I wanted to make. It just takes time and practice and exposure, you know?
You kind of were touching on the aspect of, really like absorbing all of the things that were already created around you and how that was really influencing you growing up. And I think when we talk about creativity, there's this really big stigma around it that you should be creating so much more than you are consuming. And I want to know like what you kind of think about that, because in my own opinion, I feel like the sort of absorption part of it, where you're observing everyone else's work and you're consuming what they're putting out, is actually a really vital part of the process, because it helps you understand more about yourself and what you like and what you don't like. And I feel like that you could probably resonate with that being a reason why you found your own sound, was really figuring it out through the things that you like to listen to. So I'm just kind of curious on what your mindset is like around creating versus consuming.
Totally. I mean, I talked about this yesterday on this little, you know, like video podcast that we did to kind of promote my new album. And I was telling my bandmate that, you know, I hear this all the time from industry professionals to me being like, you need to be writing a song every single day. You need to be writing two songs every single day. And I hate that so much. I think it's the antithesis of how I create my best work. It's more like I'm only reaching for the guitar when I'm feeling inspired. And if I'm picking it up just to pick it up and I'm getting frustrated, like that turns me off to the whole creative process. So I think like another thing I talked about yesterday was you know, Claro's record that came out last July, Charm. That when I heard that, I was like, wow, like I'm inspired to make a record where you can live inside the world of the record. And I think Lady and the Champs was so sonically different that hearing Charm after I had finished that first album of mine, I was like, okay, now I want to pivot and maybe create a world where it is sonically similar, all of the songs. And like you can tell that it was recorded like all in the same week at the same studio with the same instruments. So I think, you know, it's both. It's like not pressuring yourself to feel creative. allowing yourself some space, you know, between like when you write a song and when you write the next song, because like, I don't know, like if a song doesn't want to be in the world, like it's not going to be a good song.
That's so true. Yeah. In terms of creating albums, does it ever stand out to you what songs are meant to be on that album and which ones are clearly like not fitting the sound that you're going for?
I mean, what's so interesting is that like I will have that retrospectively after an album's already out, and I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have added that one.
That's funny.
But I'm never really going into the studio to record songs that won't be on the record. Like I have an idea of like all the songs we're recording for a reason. So I guess like in some ways I'm like, oh, like maybe I shouldn't have put this song after the album's like already out and done. But then it's like, oh, it was supposed to be on there for a reason. Like can't change it now.
So when something isn't working for you creatively, how do you know whether to push through it and keep really working on that? And how do you know whether to just step back?
If I like the song or not, I think that's like as simple as that. Like if I'm writing a song and I'm like, I'm just writing it because I'm trying to get it out of my body. Sometimes that's the only reason for writing a song. But sometimes I'm like, okay, like I really love this chorus. Like I'll leave it for 3 months and I'll come back to it when I'm in a different place in my life. And then it'll come easier because it's like, oh, I'm resonating with this chorus from a different experience that I've had in the last 3 months. So I'm like seeing it at a different point of view.
I love that so much. That's really a part of the creative process that I feel like no one talks about. Like sometimes the thoughts that you have, the really creative thoughts that you have, are just half baked for now, but that doesn't mean that they're failures. That doesn't mean you can't go back to them. I love that. So, what comes first for you when it comes to songwriting? Is it a melody? Is it a lyric?
It's usually a melody and chords at the same time. You know, like, I mean, I guess like if you want to get super technical, it's like me sliding around on the guitar to find like a progression, which usually is like very quickly because I have all these like progressions in my bank now that I've been playing guitar and piano for so long. So it's like boom, boom, boom. Okay, like I hear a melody in my head. And if I don't immediately love it, I know I'm not going to write a song that day. It's just more like, okay, like I like that. Now let's try and like take it to the chorus or take it to the verse or take it, you know, wherever. But it's very like right away, it's either it is or it isn't. And then it just keeps going that way. It's not, I guess there are certain instances where I've had a line come to me in the middle of the night that I go on my phone. I'm like, okay, that's like a cool line. Be looking in my notes app like months later, like, oh, like that's interesting. Like for Mr. Connecticut, that was a name of a horse at a horse race. And I went to college at Skidmore College, and there's like the Saratoga racetrack. And we went one day, and the horse is called Mr. Connecticut. And I was like, that'd be a hilarious song title. And one day I was just like looking through my notes, and I was like, Mr. Connecticut. Oh, I'm like, let me try and write that. So,
I love that so much. So, are most of your songs based off of experiences, or do you think that that's something that gets lost in music where people, the listeners, think that it's all a subjective experience that the songwriter had, and sometimes it's just what comes out at the in the moment, you know?
Yeah, I talked about this yesterday as well. And I think it's for me at this stage of songwriting, like I'm able to.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all work together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Feel inspired by a feeling, but not be attached to the actual event that has happened to me or a conversation's happened to me or whatever I'm writing about. It's more like I'm letting myself go to capture the essence of what I'm trying to get at rather than pulling specific references from my own life. So I'm just like seeing where the song will take me and not so worried about it really being relevant to my own life at the end of the day, as long as it's getting at some feeling that I think is in line with why I even started writing the song.
I love that. I really love that because you're tapping into feelings, even if you haven't had an experience tied to it. That's so cool.
Yeah.
So, off of that, when it comes to songs that are actually tied to your personal experience and they are very vulnerable to you, I know you've been kind of performing some of your music too lately.
Yeah.
How do you sort of detach from the music, if at all, so that you can give outwardly the best experience that you can to other people,
Right.
without destroying yourself in the process?
Well, luckily, the rollout period is usually, it's so much farther away than when you were like in the intimate moment of writing the song and being affected by it. So when you're out performing the song a year later, it's not even resonating with who you are at that point in your life anyway. So it's like, oh, this isn't even like my song anymore. You know, it's not like this personal thing that relates only to me. It's these people are listening to it because they relate to it, and I'm singing it for them to relate to it, not for me.
Yeah, I love that. Do you think that you get more, I guess, satisfaction from that? Or do you think that a part of you kind of has to grieve the part of you that isn't attached to that song anymore?
I think sometimes I miss when a song leaves the voice memos and it like becomes a song that we're working on. And then I'll go back to the voice memo, like on a plane. I do that all the time, like when I don't have downloaded music. And I'll be like listening to the original voice memo and I'm like, wow, like I could have gone in this direction and this direction with the recording, but now the song like is cemented in the master that like I guess we could go back and re-record it, but we're not going to. So it's like, oh, I miss when it was like we could have gone in any direction. But it's cool that like we ended here. I don't know. That's the only thing that comes to mind with that question.
Yeah, I think that's a really valid point that you made, because you really can do anything with a piece of music. You could do whatever you want. So do you
Yeah.
ever feel like some sort of, I guess, like imposter syndrome? Does that ever come up for you when you're making music where you kind of feel like you could have done something better? Or I guess the reason I'm bringing this up is because I think it's really hard to know when a project is done fully. So,
Totally.
how do you know when a track is completed and there's nothing else that you have to do to it?
That's such a great question because a lot of the time it's just like a deadline, and knowing that you could work on something for your entire life and it would, would never see the light of day because you're just finishing up like the tiniest subconscious edit that nobody would even hear. So I think like I'm big on deadlines because I think it motivates me and it like keeps my momentum up. So for example, like I knew I wanted to put this album out in June. We started recording in December. It was like a really quick turnaround. And so I was like, I guess everything has to be edited and ready to go to mixing like by March. It just like it gave me this like, okay, like if it's, there's like the tiniest tweak, like whatever, I'm gonna have to live with that because I'd rather have the songs out with a subconscious thing that the listener's not gonna hear than wait another year and then my career isn't progressing. So for me, it's just like thinking about time-wise.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
so fair. That made me think about something that I've definitely dabbled with a lot with my own creative process, where I've struggled with the balance between kind of like finding structure with creating and, having those strict deadlines and having strict things that I'm trying to follow, but also letting it come from a very intuitive place. Like you said, just kind of picking up your guitar whenever you feel,
Yeah.
not just, making a song a day because someone's telling you to.
Yeah.
How have you found a balance that works for you? And do you think that it's subjective? Do you think that everyone's different when it comes to that?
Everyone's extremely different when it comes to their process. For me, I'm picking up the guitar enough where I'm not worried about not having songs for the next album cycle. Like at this point, I'm starting to like think about, okay, what songs do I have right now that like would go on my third album? And there's like five solid ones that I know will be on the next album, but I'm in no rush to finish it. I want the songs on the record to be good and not, kind of like second tier songs that I just put on because I needed songs. Like that's because I have the luxury of time in some way, I would never rush something that I want to be better than this album I put out, you know?
Yeah, that makes so much sense. So, what do you think is like the hardest part of letting a song go out into the public? Is it, making those final cuts? Is it releasing the actual song? Is it performing it? What's the hardest thing for you?
I think at this stage, while I'm still independent and like my marketing budget isn't like the biggest, it's just like having the first week of the release being like, all right, I hope that like this reaches enough people that like my instant feedback, like my ego is gonna be like, oh, great, I'm glad I released this song. And I'm hopefully over time, like as my audience grows, like that will be less of like an insecurity of mine. But it's just more like I hope that this is like gonna catch the Spotify algorithm, because otherwise, like, it's not gonna be pushed to new audiences. But that's like my music business mind, like
Yeah. No, that's so
that's.
fair. I feel the same way with the podcast sometimes because I'm still kind of on the up and coming, still trying to grow it. I've only been doing it for a year. So my question for you there would be like, how do you, I'd say one, what is your why that keeps you going, that keeps you showing up when you feel like you're still trying to reach the people that you're trying to reach and, kind of getting clouded because maybe you see the magic behind something that you created, but you don't see it getting the kind of attention that you want it to. What's that why that you come back to?
I mean, the why is that when I'm creating a song or like bringing it into the world, the studio, or making edits for a mix or whatever, that is when I feel most in line with like my life's purpose. And so I think like the closer I get to that line of like, okay, like this is why I exist, the better that I feel about being a person in the
Yeah.
world. So I'm just like, it's not even about like who listens to it or whatever. It's more like I'm trying to build this career for myself so that I'm always like in line with having the happiest experience I can have in this lifetime.
Yeah, I love that. That's kind of why I said in the beginning, we're all creative people, whether you have something that you're making money off of or not, whether, you're putting it out into the world or not. We all have these little creative outlets that are so important because, like you said, they're just putting you on that trajectory to find yourself deeper in this life and figure out really who you are, which is so cool. So I kind of want to transition to Lady and the Champs for a second because I know that you're moving on to your new album coming out, Rocket Roll, but I can't get away from this album yet.
Oh, and it needs some praise,
It
so.
needs some love. It really does. So with that, since we were kind of just talking about, finding yourself and going on that path of self-discovery, what has the album Lady and the Champs brought to you? What has it taught you about yourself?
Well, I think with that record, I was so focused about not writing love songs and having, be seen as like a really serious songwriter. And in some ways, like I'm glad that that was like my first album was like not all these like really mushy love songs, but I think I needed to get those singer-songwriter vibes out of my system to be able to like work on this new album. And when we recorded that record, it was before I had my band that I have now. So it was a lot of me being in the producer seat saying, okay, like have a guitar player come in or a piano player and just be like, all right, let's try this, let's try this. And I wasn't sure which direction it was going to go in, which is why it went in all these different directions. And I think I was trying to find my sound, like that you can literally hear it. It's like, okay, Island Time, song with just me and the guitar. Lady and the Champs, it's like a jam band, like little anthem. Like American Tea is like folksy Americana. It's just like it was all these different genres where I was like, do I like this? Do I like this? Do I like this? Okay, like I guess we'll just like see, which one resonates the best. And what's interesting is that Mr. Connecticut. There's 12 songs on the album, but Something to You was already out with
Your
my first
EP.
EP. So something too. It's like its own era. It wasn't even like the Lady and the Tramps era. I just had to put it on my first album for music business reasons. But you know, Mr. Connecticut was interesting. Like that was the one that people were resonating with the most, which I at the time was like, this is the most poppy, and it's like not the direction I think I want to go in. But it's the one that like was the fastest rising streaming wise, you know. So it made me reconsider, hey, like this is like a kind of classic, upbeat, catchy song. Maybe I should go in this direction. And I did, you know, kind of listen to that for the new album that's coming out. So.
Yeah, I like how you brought up the fact that all of the songs in this album kind of feel like different vibes to you, but for some reason they all work together so well. And it's, oh my God, I could talk about this album forever, guys. It's amazing. So I know you said that Something to You was kind of put on that album, so it was kind of like the catalyst in a way. But do you think that there was like one song specifically besides that, that sort of was like the anchor of the entire album that kind of opened the window for other songs to be created?
That's a good question. I think I'm thinking about the order in which we started. American Teen was the first song we started.
That's cool that you also have that as the first track. I
American
love
Teen, I
that.
just liked that it was just like a nice like open ride. I don't know. Talking
No,
about
I
track is
agreed. Yeah,
always
the first time I listened to it too, I was like, oh, I'm gonna like this album. It was
I
good.
really love Siren Song. I think the way that my band plays it now, I almost want to re-record it. But I think like American Teens and Siren Song, like those are my favorites of Lady and the Champs because it was getting at this like folk, indie, pop, alternative. Like it was like just me exploring this like new drive.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all work together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Vocal sound, like Something to You is like really wet vocals of like a lot of reverb and like a lot of stuff going on in the mix. And these songs were like very dry. And I was like, okay, like I think this resonates a little bit more with what I'm actually after. And you know, now that I have a little bit of more producer control, I'm gonna like lean into this. And so like the rest of the album became like a lot of like the drier vocals because of starting with American Teens and Siren Song.
Yes, Siren Song is such a good one. It really is. But I also love that you're like, I kind of want to re-record it because you can. Like, you can do whatever you want, which is so cool.
Yeah, I would love to do re-record Siren Song and Saratoga. And yeah, I think those two, it's just like now that I have my band that I'm like obsessed with and they make every song better, I want to like put them on those songs because I know that they could be even better with maybe instrumentation. So, yeah.
Do you find that working with people in the creative process makes it more difficult at times, or does it make it easier to bounce off ideas? How does that work?
I think like the collaboration that I've got to experience this year is very unique because a lot of my band was my little brother's band. And they're all a little bit younger than me. My lead guitar player was my brother's roommate in college. And then the drummer in his band came on, and they knew this bass player who went to Syracuse, who so like they're all my little brother's friends. And I think that like the reason we work so well is because I'm like the older sister figure to them. And so it's not as much like, of course, like I'm so open to their ideas because they're way better instrumentalists than I am. So I'm often listening to their advice about like, oh, let's try this here, let's try this here, like let's try this drum part. But because, you know, ultimately, like I am the songwriter and they know that like my vision is kind of always gonna be prioritized, even though I put their input on a pedestal. It is a nice like hierarchy It's like not really a democracy, even though we're like a really gr a equal group. If it, I don't, this is like hard to say, I
No, that
guess.
makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah, but it keeps things moving, and we don't harp on disagreements. And that's what I'm getting at here. It's like we have a nice system of like, if someone feels really strongly about a certain change, then I'll be like, okay, then it's better for the song because they really feel strongly that that's what the bass part needs to be, or that's what the piano part needs to be. But ultimately, to keep stuff going, keep momentum up, you know, they trust my vision just as much as I trust theirs. So it's cool.
Yeah, I love that. I don't know if you've ever read the book, The Creative Act by Rick Rubin.
I've read some of it.
Yeah, it's so good. But I just read a chapter last night that he was talking about with making music when you're collabing with other people and, you find this disagreement point.
Yeah.
It's not about taking one person's idea and rolling with it, or taking the other person's. It's about finding the, like, not the A or B solution, the C solution, and seeing what
Sure.
works, with both. So I think that's really cool because that kind of connected to what you said so perfectly. So off of that, kind of shifting a little bit, I want to know more about, the hardships of the creative process that we all go through, those blocks, those limitations. And what sort of things that looks like for you? For like, where do you find resistance in the creative process? And what do you do when you feel like you're trying to push through it, but nothing's working?
I think the most frustrated I get is during the mixing process because I'm not the one that's mixing or mastering. So when you send songs away to get mixed, you're listening to them extremely dry and sitting, I have like my monitors right behind me, and you're sitting there just like listening to them for months and months and months editing. And so your ears are really used to hearing them so dry. So then when the first mix comes back, you're almost like, you've ruined my song because it is so different than what you've been listening to, and your ear wants to hear the version that you know. So I think like something I've learned this year is that you really have to like take a long time after the first mix that comes back to you to be like, okay, do I hate this, or is it just my ear tricking me into hating it? And so like my mentor, Scott Jacoby mixed my new record, and it was something that I was like, I respect him too much to immediately hit him back and be like, I hate this. You need to dry it up. And I think that's another reason why Lady and the Champs is so dry, is because I didn't have the experience of needing to walk away and listen to it, like 20 times before I went back for, version one edits. So it's like, it's a learning curve. And I think like, now that I'm aware that this is a phenomenon that happens not just to me, but like every single artist, I can be proactive about like not feeling frustrated. But I think it was something I had to learn this year.
Yeah, that's so fair. I go through the same thing when I'm just editing a podcast episode, and I'm like, since I've listened to my voice for so long, I'm like, I don't even like it by the time I'm done editing it, but I need to get it out, you know? I feel like that's just part of the creative process. Like, you're always going to be your biggest critic too, and you're always going to try to do the best that you can with the project. So it gets frustrating. It really does. Is there
Totally.
ever, like, do you put expectations on like what you want a song to kind of sound like or feel like? And is that kind of the driving force that's getting you to fit that sort of mold? Or do you take an approach with it where you're just letting it be whatever it is and kind of flowing with it?
I'll let it be what it wants to be, but like maybe I have like a certain drum part or a certain instrument that I want to be on it, and I know that moving forward. But now I think what has changed everything is having my band to, when I write a song, immediately go to them and be like, let's start working on this. Like, let's see where this goes. And because I have all the parts immediately, it doesn't take like a year when we start recording to be like, oh, what should the drum part be? It's like, oh, we know that the drum part sounds like this because that's how we've been writing the song together. So I prefer that than going to the studio and having no idea what the song is going to sound like, which was kind of what Lady and the Champs and Track Season was like for me. And I didn't know that you could record like this until I had my band available to me. So,
That's
you
really
know.
cool. That's really, really cool. Hey, you guys are awesome. I love the song Lady and the Chance. It's just so fun. It's so
Yeah, and
fun.
that
And I
one
love that your brother is
was
actually on the keys.
he was he I don't even know if he was on the keys for that song, which is
That's
hilarious.
funny.
But he did play in my band the first year that I started, and then he moved out to LA, so we had to replace him. So I don't even think he's playing keys on that song, but he should have been.
Yeah, that's funny. That's really funny. Okay, so we talked about Leading the Champs. I kind of want to get into this new album that's coming out, I believe, June 20th.
Yep, June 20th.
Amazing. So it's coming up. It's coming up. And then you have your California Feather singles coming up tomorrow when we're recording this, right?
Yep, tomorrow.
So excited. So I kind of want to know, like, what new sounds are you exploring in this new album? What's the newness of it that you feel personally as the artist?
Since my band and I are really like a genuine like group, and we're able to like bounce ideas off each other in such a free manner now. I think it changed everything about the sound, and I knew I wanted it to be a little bit more rock influenced, which is why I called it Rocket Roll. And I was a lot it was a lot easier to do that because they all grew up playing in rock cover bands. So I was able to like use, their experience to be like, okay, let's try this. Like, what do you guys think? The song should go in this direction or this direction, and how do we get there? Let's play with the guitar tones. Let's play with the drum sounds. And luckily, like at this studio we recorded at, which is called Carriage House Studios in Stamford, they have like incredible drum setup. And Lady in the Champs, the drum setup was it didn't have as much space, and it wasn't like the best environment for really hard drum sound. So I think the drumming is a huge difference on Rocket Roll versus Lady and the Champs, and the guitar tones, and I don't know. It's definitely more in line with what I've always wanted to make, but I didn't have the band or the experience or, songwriting technique to pull it off yet. Everything happens because you're learning, and
Yeah, and in the timing that it's supposed to, that's so cool. I love that you said that it feels like something that you've kind of always had inside of you that you've wanted to explore, but also your band started as cover artists for rock, which is really, really cool. I love that. So I guess we're just gonna get into sort of like a little lightning round, but don't take that as you have to answer things in one word or anything. We're not going to do that. But I'm just curious, what is one your favorite part about making music? We'll explore that first, then we'll move on to the other questions.
I feel like that scene in Almost Famous when he's like, "What do you love most about music?" It's like, to begin with, everything. But that's truly like how I feel. I think if you don't love everything about the process, it's a hard career choice for you. So luckily, I feel like because I studied music business at NYU and I have this like songwriting production background from undergrad, I am like loving every single aspect of it, like managing myself, booking shows for myself, writing the songs, now band directing for the songs, going to the studio. Like, I produced this past record myself, so like I'm doing that. Now I'm like editing the videos that we're doing. Like, it's you literally have to be hands-on in every single bar, especially when you're an independent artist. So I think I like truly love every part of it. Some stuff is tedious, but it's like always to like keep momentum going and go towards the end result,
Yeah, for sure. I feel like some people think that just because it's hard, it means it's not meant for them, you know? And I think that's why a lot of people kind of not fall off, but they don't let their work become what it can to its full potential because they give up before they let it actually be something. So, I love that because it kind of just sheds light on the fact that, you know, it's still going to be hard, but you have to find some little glimpses of enjoyment in it. You have to come back to your why constantly and be reminding yourself why you're doing it. And ultimately, it's because you're trying to, you know, figure out more about yourself and understand yourself deeper, which is really cool. So what's one word, if you could describe this new album, Rock It Roll, besides rock, because we kind of already gave them that.
Yeah, it's I wouldn't even say rock would be the word. Like it's
Okay.
influenced.
Yeah.
Let's see. For me, the word is natural, because it was just so effortless that the way that it came together. You know, there really were not a lot of like.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Sticking frustrated points in the whole process. It was just like, and there actually were like two songs that started to like lean that way, and I cut them because I was like, I don't want this vibe anywhere near this project.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, I
Yeah.
really, really love that.
We talked, my bass player asked me that question yesterday in our little like video podcast thing we did. And I had a different word. I said classic because a lot of the songs are now feeling more like they will withstand time. They're less like trendy. But I do think that word is absolutely pretentious. So I switched it up for this podcast.
No, I really love that you said that because it kind of like encapsulates just your sound. It's so timeless. I think that's what I loved originally so much about your music. I was like, wow, like this is never gonna go out of style. She's not just like trying to be like trendy and alternative. She's like using old sounds and making it her own, which is so cool. Like,
Thank you for
oh my
saying
God, I can't wait to see all of the projects you're going to be coming out with in the future too, and just
that.
see how much like you expand as an artist. It's so cool. So, okay, my next question for you is, when do you feel most like creatively alive? When do you feel most in flow state?
Probably when I'm first writing a song at the piano or the guitar, and it's just like coming out. And I've said this a lot in the past, like I feel sometimes like I have no idea where these lines are coming from. It's almost like I'm just singing them and I wasn't like pre-thought. It just came out. Like it was almost like a divine intervention or something. And it's definitely just like a subconscious, like something's coming out because that's how my mind knew how I was feeling and knew how to articulate it that way. But it sometimes feel like these aren't my words. Like I would never have said that in my real life speaking voice. So, but sometimes when I get that gift of like a line that really works, I'm like, okay, now I know the song's gonna be good because I've just been given this gift. So I gotta like finish it.
That's so cool. I love how you like worded that too. It's almost like something just like called out to you and like you're just taking it under your wing and making it your own, which is
Yeah.
so cool.
It's hard to explain, but it's sort of just like, okay, like if that line came to me, like I know the song's gonna be fine. But I think when I feel frustrated, which you've gotten at a couple times, it's like I'm not getting that. And I'm just like, then it's not meant to be. Like the song doesn't need to exist because it's not gonna be that good anyway, you know?
Yeah, that's so cool. It's almost like you feel sort of like guided and like protected when it's like just
Yeah.
coming to you out of nowhere.
Literally.
Yeah, that's really cool. Okay, so moving forward, if you would have anything that you would say to someone who's maybe in the music space, but maybe they're just trying to create something and put it out into the world right now, what would be your greatest piece of advice to someone like that?
I think if you're gonna be making art and like putting it out into the world, like you have to have some hand in the production and edit of it. Because if it's not gonna be like at your hands in the later stage, like of course you can, for example, like making a music video, right? Like for this record, we did three videos that were really organically the way that they came. Like we bought a camcorder and recorded the day like up to Skidmore's Earth Fest, and my brother's at film school and we just like filmed with all his friends. And I think for me as an artist, that kind of work is so much more gratifying and like feels truly like my own work versus someone else's vision. So I would say, and the fact that I produced this record too, like you don't necessarily need the skills to like be at the helm of your project. You just have to like believe that you can do it. And so I would just say like trust yourself and like don't let somebody else's vision take over your project. You know,
For
like make sure
sure.
you're always the captain.
I love that. I really love that. But I also like the fact that you always are, you're not afraid to ask for help. You're not afraid to reach out to other people, to bounce off of your bandmates and, you know, all of the people in the process that you meet, because I think that's something that we get stuck with sometimes when our ego kind of comes in and we're trying to make this project, you know, our own by fully just working on it by ourselves and seeing what it comes. But, you know, bouncing off of other people's ideas and stuff can bring you to greater levels of that project that
And
you
I
couldn't
could
have come
give
to.
the opposite advice too, which is like give you like make sure the people around you trust them, you know? But then at the end of the day, make sure that like they know if this is your solo project that you have, you know, right of refusal and like I don't know, you're like the executive producer of it. So
Yeah.
I don't know, like it's really just like trust yourself, don't let other people's taste or opinion sway you. Because I think I have had experience like that in the past. And then the song, it could have been very, very different than how it turned out. So I don't know. That's just a new wave I'm riding.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, moving on with that. I know that you're still, you know, dabbling with different sounds, trying different things out. And right now you're really complacent with like the band you have going, everything that you have going. But in the future, is there anyone that like would call out to you that you would love to like collab with or like write a song with? Or is that not even in the cards for you right now? You're not even focused on that.
I would say if something came up naturally, that's the only way that I would do that. There's this artist that sort of has been following me from like the beginning. His artist name is VBND. And he's like more of a producer. He doesn't have any vocals, but he collaborates with vocalists. So he and I have been like bouncing back and forth, like, wait, we should collaborate, we should do something. And I feel like that's going to be a new experience for me if I take him up on that and try and write something to like a pre, you know, get a track that he's sending to me to write over. I don't have a ton of experience with that, but maybe that's like the next stage is like, you know, writing in different ways. And I don't know. The more songwriters I meet, I'm more open to do it. We just have to be, you know, naturally coming into the world. I don't know.
Yeah, that's so fair. Like, stick back to your word on this album. It's all natural. It's just gonna flow naturally.
Yeah,
I
totally. So we'll see.
love that.
I don't know. I haven't really written that much with people in the past. A little bit with my brother, and from an old collaborator, on one of the songs on this new album, but that's like it.
I mean, I always hear songwriters talking about how hard it is sometimes to try to like write when you're even around other people in the same room because you're trying to like really, as part of it is so vulnerable too. It's almost like a diary entry
I
and that
know.
you're just like letting everyone read because
Yeah.
it's just the most vulnerable thoughts sometimes.
Totally.
I
Yeah,
love
that's
that.
true for me.
Well, besides that, I want to know kind of what you would consider this chapter of your life to be. You're stepping into such exciting projects. And just like if you want to get personal, if not, like what maybe one word that sticks out to you, what would this chapter of your life that you're stepping into kind of be like?
Like adulthood.
Yeah. That's a good one.
It's just like, you know, I think I wish that I had done more music stuff in undergrad and like started this career a little bit earlier, just because I'm 25 now. And, you know, I just wish that I had a little bit more of a platform, you know, because like being an independent artist when you're 25, like you really have to make a lot of concessions in your life to keep the ball rolling. And you know, I moved back to Connecticut this year to be able to do this project, and you know, I'm moving back to New York in July, but it was like I had to do it, and I'm glad I did it because, you know, this project is born now. But I don't know. It's just you're at a different stage than your peers when you're a full-time independent artist at 25. Like, I don't know. It's just adulthood is hitting, and I'm really trying to just stay positive, about being an independent artist because it is what I want to do. But yeah, so I guess adulthood is hitting at 20.
Yeah, I think that's a great answer. I really do, especially when you're in your 20s. I just everything's so up in the air. Like you feel like you're just doing life for the first time all over again.
Totally. Like transition, I think is another word for me right now. Like I never know like what the next month brings. Like some things are really last minute. Like some shows are planned out, like a year ahead. It's just like, you never know like where you're gonna be, and you can't plan it. So just go with the flow.
I love that. I feel like that was a great place to kind of end.
Yeah.
So, thank you so much for coming on. Like, that was such
Sure.
a fun conversation. I love talking about the creative process. And since I listened to this album, I was like, I need to know everything.
Well, hopefully I gave you some insight.
Yes, I really appreciate you getting personal and deep and sharing all the things that you did about the music process and everything attached to it. So I kind of just wanted the listeners to know what you have coming next and where they can find you on all your socials so that they
Sure.
can really connect with your music deeper.
Yeah, so coming up, we've got California Feather, the second single off Rock and Roll, coming out May 23rd. It'll probably be already out by the time you listen to this. We've got the third single is coming out June 6th. It's called Hard to Believe, and my bass player Jared is featured on it. And then my album comes out June 20th. And then after that, we've got a show in Brooklyn at the Sultan Room, July 3rd. Got a show in Boston, July 12th. And then wrapping up the summer back at Cafe Wa in Manhattan on August 3rd. So that's sort of what the summer is looking like.
Cool.
And then, yeah, Rock and Roll, June 20th.
That's so fun. I'm so excited. I can't wait for this new album. I can't wait. I'm gonna have to go. I won't be here for the July 3rd one, but I'm gonna have to go August 3rd in Manhattan.
Yeah, I
Oh,
would
I
love
gotta
to
show
have
up
you.
to that.
I'll put you on the list.
Please, yeah.
Well,
Well,
thanks for having
anyways, you were
me.
such a joy. Thanks so
Of
much for sharing everything.
course, thanks for having me. And
Yeah.
thanks for responding to my TikTok message.
Of course, of course. Thanks for commenting, because this would
Course.
have never happened.
I know. But TikTok
Yeah.
is very powerful. You
It
never
really,
know.
really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just popping in here to say that if you want to connect further with either me or Natalie, go ahead and check the show notes below, and both of our socials will be linked there. I really encourage you guys to go give her music a listen. She's truly incredible. I would not have had her on if I didn't see the magic behind all her music. So please go and check her out. Her Lady and the Champs album that we talked a lot about today is just truly amazing. But she's actually coming out with a new album, like you heard in this podcast episode. So stay tuned June 20th for her new album, and I will see you guys in the next podcast episode. As always, come as you are and leave a little more healed.